You know, I live in this community and I love coming to this church. The experience what we had earlier this morning isn't replicated everywhere. There is a sense of community. There is a sense of family in this place. I just want to say you smell of it. It is on you. It is in you. God's word speaks of family and speaks of connectedness. And sometimes in our challenges in our regular life, that doesn't always work out. But it's good to be in a place where you sense the love of God's family. And hopefully you sense that this morning, Dan and Candace, as we came together and as we dedicated Ethan and in a way rededicated Isaiah. And as we were doing that, hopefully you had opportunity to remember your own kids and you giving them to the Lord, if that was what your privilege was. So it's an honor and a privilege to be able to speak about that as one part of our mourning. And also to speak about the fact that we are beginning to wrap up the book of Philippians. We've had this privilege of looking at it verse by verse and trying to understand what it was that Paul was saying in his letter. And this morning, as we take a look at that, this letter, we are starting to draw to the near to the end of it, and he has some personal things to say. He is talking about this word rejoice. Even though the Apostle Paul had lots of things that were going on that were challenging and difficult, in the midst of all of that, he was able to be content. And we've been talking about that as we've been looking through the previous three chapters. We began started just the last week or two in chapter 4. And that's where we are this morning, chapter 4, verses 10 to 13, which we had heard read earlier. 11 times in this letter, he uses the word rejoice, and he also uses the word joy. So it's kind of cool to be able to read it. It's kind of cool for us to be able to encourage one another in the challenges that we faced. He discovered the secret of rejoicing in all circumstances through the discovery of his God who would always provide, who was more than enough, was more than adequate, was competent to meet every possibility that comes our way. As you know, life begins to change and the whole of our attitude and expression begins to alter when we believe that God is sufficient to be able to meet all of your need. Even when our kids grow up, we thought that there was challenges just when they were babies. You're in for an awakening. As they grow old and as they grow older and as they have kids of their own. Yes, as grandparents, you get to go and spoil the grandkids. But you never stop parenting. You never stop praying. You never stop committing those little ones to the Lord. So even in the midst of the challenges that we face, Paul is saying to the people in Philippi, I just want you to remember and never forget that God is more than enough and more than adequate to be able to deal with and help you with whatever it is that you're facing. Paul answers the question, how to be satisfied in any circumstance and how to be supplied in every need. The first part, how to be satisfied in any circumstance. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. On many occasions, as you read through the letters that the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches that he helped to plant. He's encouraging them to let them know that they have been a support to him. And so on this day, when he's writing this letter that would be sent back to the people in Philippi, he just wants them to know, you know what? In all his circumstances, I just want you to know you've been very helpful. He rejoices in the renewal of their missionary pledge to him and the revived concern for him. Something had prevented them from keeping up their promise or their intentions. And Paul acknowledges that the mail service, they had problems back then too. The problem with the mail service, that it wasn't very good. And I just want you to know, you had the opportunity, but I know that I haven't received yet what it was you were sending me. Communication was dependent upon travelers who might be going to that portion of the world. And so they would give them letters, and they would give them correspondence, and they would give them packages, much like you would when you sent food off to your college-age student. Or a little letter tucked in there, or a little note that has a heart on it that you put in the mailbox of your grade one-er. Or kindergarten, you send it off to them. It's just a reminder that they're loved and they're cared for. And these letters and these things would be sent off to where Paul was. And Paul in Philippi happened to be a long distance away. It was the furthest, one of the furthest spots away in the Roman Empire. And so he was kind of away from things where he was, from Rome to Philippi. And so he just wanted them to know, you know what? Even in the midst, I haven't received your gift yet. I just want you to know that I'm content. I'm okay. Everything is going to be fine. And that's part of what we're learning ourselves, is learning to be content in the midst of all things. There's a story of a Quaker who put a sign on his house one day that said, "I'll give this house to any man, any person who can prove to me that he is content." And after a bit, someone came knocking on the door and said he saw the sign out front and he wanted to claim the house. He said he was perfectly content. The Quaker asked him, "Well, what he meant? What did you mean by that?" He said, "I have everything I want, all the money that I need, everything in life that could possibly satisfy. I'm perfectly content." The Quaker said, "Friend, if you're so content, what do you want with my house?" That's a revelation of how subtly these desires for more can creep into our thinking. Contentment is not having all that you want. True contentment is wanting only what you have. This is what Paul had learned. This is what he was encouraging the people of Philippi to remember, and that's what he's encouraging us today to remember. Are you content with what you have? Or do you want more? He had learned that God had created man to love people and use things, but somehow in the course of time, these things had got reversed. And they learn to use people and love things. And if I'm not mistaken, that can be our problem too. Through the years, Paul had been taught of the Spirit of God that circumstances are elusive. They don't minister to the deep needs of our heart, whether having want or having abundance. It doesn't matter of which end of the scale you are. The major value of life is the ability to love people and to use things. And allow those things to be free in your hands and not grasped too tight. This was the focus he had learned at last, to face life as it really is. Second thing he learned was that poverty and wealth are equally regarded. This is not usually the usual perspective, but something that must be learned. We're naturally inclined to view poverty as a severe trial, but abundance is a great blessing. Somehow we have been taught that. But the reality is that both of these can shackle a person. Only if I had a few more dollars, only if I could just have this little extra thing, only if I could have this, and we live out of want, not contentment. You do realize that it doesn't matter how rich you are or how wealthy you are, you will always strive for more. A survey done of some of the richest people in the world Shows that they weren't satisfied with what they had. They weren't, we'd use the word content, with what they had, but that they wanted something more. Poverty and wealth are equally regarded as trials, the Apostle Paul would tell us. This would tell us that we haven't fully grasped what it means to be really content. If we always want more. It's not having all you want, but it's wanting what you have and living with what you have. Both poverty and wealth are demanding extremes. Both are weights on the human spirit. Be careful, little ones, be careful, all of us, as we live our lives, not to want too much. They are demanding extremes. First thing that we need to see is that the Apostle Paul learned how to have victory over both of these imposters. He says this in verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's a theme that runs throughout this, this passage, this scripture. He has learned this as we have learned from his book. He has learned this. He's this great discovery in his life when he's learned that he had nothing in and of himself. He had said already, he said, you know what? When you take a look at my background, I have the best pedigree that you're going to find anywhere. I have ambition. I have all of the abilities. I've got it all together. Take a look at my resume. But in the end, he says, all of this is nothing compared to the adequacy of God, and that he is the one that is able to supply all of my need. He is the one that I rely on. It was practicing that confidence that whatever Jesus Christ was once in his days, in his flesh and blood, meaning every situation, was what Paul wanted in his life. And that is the call to us as followers of Jesus Christ today to desire the same. To recognize that it isn't in our stuff that we find contentment, but it is in us knowing who it is that provides for all of our needs. Paul didn't judge situations by how he felt about them, but he judged them about how God was going to provide and move in and through that situation. You know, I think it'd be interesting some Sunday morning or some evening, perhaps in your small group of challenge, just to have the conversation of the ways that God showed up and has provided for you. What are some of the ways that God has provided for you? Just to sit and to talk about that, just to sit in that moment. Apostle Paul was relying on these other churches to provide for his every need. At this time in his life, for sure. And God showed up and provided. There wasn't anything that he had to worry about. And he says, there wasn't a thing that I could do on my own. He doesn't say this, but it's almost like it. You know, I was almost like I was a little baby. I couldn't do this on my own. God would show up, and he would just take care of these needs for me. I can do all things, he says, through Christ who strengthens me. Even in the midst of all the stuff that's flying around me, he can provide for me. Third thing is we need to know is that we're not our own. Some of us have forgotten that. We're not our own. You were bought with a price. And God has the right to use you to his satisfaction. To his satisfaction. It's to what he wants that counts, not what I want at the end of the day. Do you know there's lots of times in my life, and I'm sure there are yours, when you're praying and you go, God, I have no idea what the heck you're doing. If I was God for a day, I wouldn't have done it this way. But God, because you say so, I will abide with you and allow you to move through me. This makes hardships and trials and suffering and difficulties places of blessing and joy and gladness as we understand that God wants to move us in a direction that we may have not considered before. He sees things from a different perspective, and he wants to bring us into whatever that is that he's going to take us into. Don't you find that in life there are those moments that we say, I can't? Because basically we just don't want to do something. I can't or I won't. I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten the price that was paid. And our lives are God's. And the Apostle Paul moves in this letter to help us to understand that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, even in the difficult things that when we say in and of our own strength, I can't. I can't do that thing. I can't do that ministry. I can't stand so-and-so. In the midst of that, the Apostle Paul wants to encourage us and say, you can. If God calls you to do that thing, then he will strengthen you and he will equip you to be that person, to love that person, to care for that person, even if you didn't feel like that's what you were supposed to do. But then in his heart of hearts, God calls you, just as he was calling the Apostle Paul, to do some of the difficult things. What a glorious thing in the life of the church when people say, I can. You know what? I don't know all of it, all the things that are required of me, but the Lord's freeing me up in some areas of my life so that I can. I can move into that, what God's called me to. What is it these days that God is calling you into? I can, the Apostle Paul says, because I believe that God has given me strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret of this being satisfied in every circumstance. If that's a challenge where you're placing your life into God's hands, then most likely the idea of contentment is going to be elusive to you. You will chase it all of your life. What's interesting to me these days is that kind of like one after one, I hear, you know, people of significance, we would say, or we would say they've arrived, they're at the pinnacle of whatever, whether they're an actor or an actress or sports or whatever. And one by one, we hear after they have accumulated all the things that we would say are success, that is the epitome of success, one by one, they've said, I've searched the world over and I have found myself to be wanting. Are you content today? The Apostle Paul in his letter wants to encourage us to recognize that we can't do it in our own strength, but that we have to give that over to God and to recognize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even these things that we would say bring us contentment. You're not naturally born content. With God's help, as we finish, with God's help, I will trust him to be content in all situations. Just think about that for a second. I will be thankful for everything that I have. Not just on Thanksgiving. Can you pass me some more turkey, please? Oh, and some gravy, and I'll have some dressing. I will be thankful for everything that I have. And in the end, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why is this important today? I had wondered when we were arranging things, you probably wonder what goes through the pastor's mind when he gets all these different things that are happening. Oh, we're going to do a baby's dedication today. And you're going to preach on that topic, being content, being satisfied. The lessons that the Apostle Paul is trying to teach to his church, this young church in Philippi, are the lessons that we want to get into our young families today. as they raise their children and as they try to teach them the biblical principles that we've been talking about in the book of Philippians, and learn at an early age to be content in all things, and to raise our children in that environment that lets them know that God is more than enough to supply all of their needs. And they see that as you live out your lives before them with strength and vitality. They see that when times become difficult, you get on your knees and you pray to the God who is able to provide all of your needs. This message is not just for the people of Philippi, but this message is for all of us, for the family of God, as we raise up the church to be all that God desires for it to be. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for this passage of scripture this morning that speaks of what it means to be content. Thank you that in all circumstances, Paul learned to be content because he trusted in the one that was able to provide for all of his needs. And then in the midst of all those things, he would say that you were more than enough to provide. I pray that for each person that's here this morning, if they have come and they kind of feel like life is getting ahead of them and that things are kind of crazy, that Father, you this morning would just reach into their life and help them to know that they can trust you, even in the midst of a world that's upside down and maybe their life that feels a little bit upside down. May this time this morning, reflecting on Paul and reflecting on this man who trusted you, even in the midst of difficult and challenging times, may they rely on you this morning, just like the Apostle Paul. Give them the power and the strength to do that. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.